Hello, everybody. Welcome back to an Applevis Unleash for February 2018. I'm Thomas Donville, also known as the Nanomouse, and I am back here with the gang, and we got Mike Malarcy. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back.
Awesome. And how about Mr. Randy Rusnak over there?
Otherwise known as Big R. Doing great. How are you guys?
I love that. It always reminds me of Tony the Tiger.
Well, I could do it right for you if you guys really want me to, but
oh man, good. Doing very well.
Good. You might notice a difference in quality, gang, and we are now using Zoom as our platform instead of Skype. And for those of you who are following the Skype adventures, that's why we're using Zoom. If not, well, doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's right. We have always used Skype as one of our platform. And unfortunately, due to uncircumstances of what Microsoft has presented for us on the Windows platform, you can contact us if you have any questions about Zoom or Skype. Thank you for the mention, Mr. Randy.
Sure. And Mike, don't you wish we had one of those slide whistles? We could go, Skype's going down the tubes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you guys, what a month. We got a lot on our plate here today. And, you know, the first thing we'll talk about is this Apple Q1 fiscal report. Oh, my gosh. You talk about a jaw-dropping, eye-popping results, $88 billion.
Yeah, I know. That's just insane.
One quarter. So I'm going to give you guys kind of an idea how much that is, as in comparative to other people. So if I give you three people, Amazon, Google, and Samsung, who do you think would be the highest in revenue making?
Amazon would be my guess.
Well, I'm going to say Google. I'm going to say Amazon is the trailer. And the reason I'm saying this is because, well, I just have read it.
Oh, that's cheating. I didn't know we were allowed insider information.
But the reason that I'm actually mentioning this is I'm surprised that Amazon is trailing. Because, man, quite honestly, I think I have Amazon as my... they're going because of me. You know, I do a lot of shopping from Amazon.
We're the same way. We have boxes almost.
Well, you're both are wrong.
Okay? Oh, really?
Now let me give you the results.
So no, I don't want to know them now.
All right, so we're talking profit, not revenue, but profit.
Oh, okay.
So Apple made $88 billion in Q1. That's your first quarter. All right, Amazon is the last, believe it or not. And for those, did you know that Amazon pulled in 89% of all online sales during Christmas? That's just a heads up in the United States. With that, their profit for last quarter was $1.9 billion. That's it.
Wow.
Wow. And then Google was second with $9 billion. And Samsung was the second up there closest to Apple of $12 billion. And for the whole year, Samsung made $50 billion for the whole 2017.
Wow.
That's phenomenally huge. That just tells you, and I can hear people already saying, Apple is greedy. They need to lower our prices and don't
greedy.
Be gouging
they need
us.
To be lowering the prices. They gouge us. Oh, folks, sorry.
Folks, it's called capitalism. Capitalism.
Yeah, that's the thing, ultimately, is people are buying it. So why would they change it?
Exactly. So
it's hard to argue with $80 million.
$88 billion.
Which is a number, like, that number is hard to wrap your brain around how much money that actually is. And just for 3 months?
That's unreal.
That's crazy.
So within that fiscal report, though, I'm gonna put this in smaller bites so we can get an idea what we're looking at. It's not what it appears. They sold 13 million iPads, 77 million iPhones, and 5 million Mac. Now, that's just estimated. It's not the actual point. I think it's 5.1 million, 77 point something. But anyway, that's just rounded up. And looking into those figures, they sound pretty good. But for being a super cycle year, it was not that at all. Unfortunately, Apple missed it. They actually sold less iPhone this quarter than they did the previous quarter, believe it or not.
Interesting.
But give or take that the iPhone X did come out much later, and it probably hurt the iPhone 8 sales because people were waiting for the X perhaps. But for being a super cycle, you would think that number would be way up regardless. That's just my thought.
You know, I feel like if I was in charge and I was looking at those numbers, I'd be like, you know, we might not have hit our goal, but it's still a pretty number right there. I'd be happy with it, but...
Well, I just show to you that this was not the super cycle as they expected. They were predicting much higher number. And also, I read that the mobile sales for all mobile, including Samsung, LG, everybody, was down, as in year over year.
They have to bottom out, you'd think, at some point, right?
Yeah, I don't. There's no doubt the saturation has to reach to a plateau at some point.
Right.
And but I think mostly, Randy, I think is that I'm starting to hear a lot more people hanging on to their iPhone longer than they ever have. So I think that's also something to consider, too.
I've been doing that very thing just because I remember, I mean, just a couple of years ago, by the time the new one would come out, I would notice that the one that I was using was a little bit slower. And the new ones had drastic jumps in performance and speed. But now, I mean, the 8 and the 10 are out. I still have the 7S and it's snappy as ever. I don't notice any problems with it. My wife has the X and I was asking her last night, how do you use Siri? She's like, actually, I have no idea. So we sat there for 20 minutes before we were able to figure that out. And like, yeah. There hasn't been a need yet. And I used to be the kind of person that every year I was I'm going to update right now as soon as I can. But I just haven't felt that need anymore.
So have you tested out the 10, Mike, with VoiceOver?
Not very much, no. I mean, other than not having a home button, so the gestures being, that's kind of all that I've played with is the difference in the gestures. Mm-hmm. I haven't done and put it through any, you know, hardcore tests or anything. I was just mostly curious on how it functioned.
Right. Well, of course, I thought that there probably wouldn't be much of a difference. I mean, my 8 is really snappy. And I had also heard that they're not going to be using the manufacturing the 10 after this series. Is that true? After the 10, after people get the 10, this is one of the last rounds for the 10s being made. I mean, like next year, they're going to be jumping to a different phone.
You know, this is all speculation at this point. Yep, yes, yep. We can read into whatever articles, and I have seen that as well, is that iPhone X would be gone, and they would bring on the OLED screen, and the home button would be gone, and the new iPhone something, whatever it's going to be, 8S or 9, I have no idea, along with the SE. So that would be your three phones, your Plus, your original, and the SE. But, you know, Apple can always throw us a curveball, but I've heard the same thing, but who knows? But we were just talking with Alex Hall the other day, and he just paid off his iPhone 7, and, you know, I agree with him. He has no reason to upgrade to an 8 or an X, and he just doesn't feel that there's a need. And I think that is what Apple is not wanting to hear, is that people are starting to hang on to that device, just like the iPad. I mean, my God, I still have the iPad mini second generation, when there's a fourth generation, and I have no need to get a new iPad. Right. This one is sufficient, and it still runs iOS 11. So it's, you know, I think it's going to plateau, and I think at some point, I think it's just going to be pretty consistent from here, but that's just me. I don't think we're going to see a significant bump.
Right. Well, I think what'll happen is Apple will go, all right, well, we're just going to slow your phones way down.
That's downright mean.
I think the focus is going to shift. I mean, I hope at least the focus will shift a little bit away from the hardware, because it's all kind of more, I mean, it's all fast. How much faster can it possibly get? You know, I touch it and it happens immediately.
Well, you say that, right? But I mean,
it's going to get faster.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But I think the focus, I hope the focus will switch from the hardware, because everything is pretty dang good right now, and focus more on the software side.
Well, I agree. I hope so.
Majority of the complaints about.
No doubt. And that would be coming up pretty quick. Now, one more note to the add to the fiscal report that I thought was interesting for you guys is that they had a record-breaking services. And I was like, what is an Apple service? That would be the App Store, the cloud, the AppleCare, all that. That broke a record. That brought in, of the $88 billion, I think $8.6 or something like that billion of that came from that alone. And if you guys saw this, and I thought, oh my God, the first January 1st of this year, they broke a record on App Store of purchases. There was $240 million in revenue generated just in the App Store that day alone.
Jeez,
man.
That's, of course, that's revenue, but still, that's a pretty good chunk. What did they take? What, 30% of that? So that'd be what, $72 million? Mm-hmm. And that's not bad. That's not a bad day. But so their services is definitely growing, which is a good thing for them because they need to make money elsewhere, try to boost the Mac, because the Mac actually went down, which doesn't surprise me. I think people are waiting for the new MacBook Pro to come out to see if they I personally still think they're going to keep the touch bar, but everybody's just wanting the faster processor. I mean, it's unfortunate right. that the processor on the MacBook Pro is still way behind. Now we're using the new Intel i8. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, I would love to have an i8.
Yeah.
Imagine. The one last thing I will say to the fiscal report before we move on is that this is interesting. They had a 30% increase over the last 2 years of number of active devices. So this is the first time ever that they had 1.3 billion active devices. So that is pretty remarkable there.
Yeah, especially when you compare it to the population of the entire world. That's a huge amount of active devices.
Now, why do you think that is, Tom? Do you have any speculations? I kind of do. But
when Apple is very good at smoke screening everybody. And you know, first thing we will jump to conclusion that is iPhones. No. They just said active devices.
Yeah.
Macs, iPods, that could be your HomePod, for God's sakes, Apple TVs.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that. Yeah.
They just said active devices. So when you put them all together, I can see that because, you know, 1 billion iPhones was, I'm with Mike. That would be staggering. I said, my God, that many people have iPhone? No, I don't think so at all. Right. I think maybe 500 million. Be more like it, and then all of us that duplicate that we have Apple TVs and all that stuff just doubles it. And that makes sense.
Yeah, we're up to I think 9 devices just in my house. So,
and they are, Mike. They are. What are your devices?
We've got 2 Apple TVs. My wife and I both have a Mac. We both have iPhones, and then we have our old iPhones that I actually went and set up Apple IDs for my kids. Mm-hmm. And they just have kid games, educational games, and they do chores during time to play on those. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm assuming that would count too because it's their own account. It's connected to the internet. It's probably well aware of what they're doing. So
I'm trying to think here. Over here, we have 7 devices under Apple.
Yeah. See, we're padding numbers.
I've got 2 iPhones. I have an Apple TV, and I think that's about all the Apple stuff I have. I find myself actually sitting down and working with my iPhone more than I do with a PC these days. Now, the only thing that I don't do on the phone, I do record quite a bit on the phone and send it up to other platforms, but I do, I use the computer for production. Mostly, the computer for me is now a production machine. That's about it.
We do. Yeah. I do all my podcast stuff and all my writing on the computer. Everything else almost exclusively is on the phone.
Same here.
Totally agree. Yeah. I keep telling my friends and my clients I use my iPhone about 80% of the time.
That's about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much that's the beauty of it. It's just so revolutionary that this iPhone would have done to us compared to 5 years ago. I would have said I would have been using 20-30% of the phone and much more on the computer. So time has changed, and I wanted to be transparent about the fiscal report. Yeah, that's an outstanding number. I agree. But it isn't all great numbers when you look into it as they're starting to plateau. And I think they're starting to freak out a little bit because I saw that Apple has lower the expectation for the next quarter. So that's just, that's normal. That is normal, and there's nothing to worry about. This is just that I think the market is just finally got saturated, you know?
Yep, I do. I've talked with a lot of people who see those kinds of things like, oh, they're done. That's it. They're crashing. I'm like, no. This is how kind of economics in general works. It's not even just Apple. It's companies in general. This kind of stuff is completely normal.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? They still got room to grow. And bigger countries like, I know they've been focusing on China and India. So there is room to grow. It's just going to be slow. It's going to be very slow because it's very costly. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of people can afford it. It's very expensive. So we're very blessed to be in the state that we can afford this stuff. But Apple also made a surprising move. In a way, it was surprising. They don't normally do this. This is very rare of them to do this. But I think it's a PR smokescreen again. But they announced that Apple has actually revealed their own, what you can expect from iOS 11.3, which I was like, oh my gosh. And Apple did that. Normally, it's like, you know, 9to5 and Mac rumors and doing all those rumor stuff. But no, this actually came from Apple themselves to introduce what you can expect 11.3. And again, I think this is a smokescreen because you'll hear one of those features. I'm going to go over some of the features because there are some really cool features coming in 11.3. Or, you know, I don't know. I think everything's cool and I think it's...
New is cool.
So, I mean, obviously, of course, they're going to introduce more emojis.
Yay. I have an emoji for you guys right now. Here you go, Apple.
Exactly. Well, so you get some emojis. So here's the smokescreen of this. I knew this had to be it. I said this. Okay, here's the elephant in the room, folks. The battery performance feature is implemented in 11.3. So when you get your 11.3, you now can check your battery performance in the settings. And basically how it works, what Apple tells us is, this is quite interesting because I didn't know about some of this. I've heard about it, but some of this I was new. So if your phone is at supreme performance or whatever you want to call it, high performance, it'll say your battery status is 100%. And from there, it'll decrement by 10%. So if your battery is starting to get kind of starting to degrade, it'll go down to 90%. And at that point, Apple's going to tell you some of the performances is being hit. You're not going to see the high performance that you had with 100%, just for you to be aware of. The last one is 80%. And that's when they said your battery has degraded to the point where you are suffering from performances. And obviously, at this point, by default, according to Apple, is that by default, they will turn off that slowdown issue that everybody had that Apple decided that to force upon everybody. So that is good news to know that they'll turn this option off. So it's up to you if you want to take the risk of your phone doing weird stuff, shutting down. And so obviously, that's the big reason why they probably revealed 11.3. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. And still, I just feel like that's something... I'm a pretty big believer in transparency in the first place. And if they would have just done this from the get-go instead of how it all went down... And of course, hindsight being 2020, you know, it's pretty clear what the smart choice would have been. But I mean, this could have been implemented a long time ago.
It should have been.
Thought about it, yeah.
It should have been. And the only downside to this, and again, I'm going to clear the cloud out for Apple that doesn't tell us these things. This is only going to be good for iPhone 6 and above. So those with older devices, you're not going to get a choice. I was like, what the heck?
There's always that. So it seems like every time something comes out, there's always this little bit of a, hey, everything's great, except for this small group of people here, you guys have to upgrade. There's always like the small portion of the community that kind of is left with no choice but to deal with the issues or go buy something new.
Yeah, no doubt. It's just like, you just have to weed through it. And I like being transparent about everything. I wish everybody would just tell us this is how it is.
Right.
But I had to dig into that. Of course, Apple didn't say that verbally, but it was in the message itself that they sent out, but it was hidden. And I was like, my gosh, this is crazy. But anyway, it'll work for anything with 6 and up. So I just want everybody to know about that. Some of the other new features they mentioned, if those that are Apple Music, you will now have music videos in your music app now. But here comes one of my perky ones that I thought, which I liked, is that the news app will now offer news videos. So that's
interesting. Oh, that'll be nice.
Mm-hmm. News video is going to be implemented. You know, I wonder if they're trying to make that work for the Apple TV, so you can now have the news videos and stuff. It just seems like more and more they're starting to do that because, you know, Apple Music first had the Beats one, and then they started going with these videos at first, and then also now you got music videos. So this is interesting. I'm trying to figure out where the direction is going with this. I think they're trying to take that away from YouTube, probably the YouTube music for people that want to watch music videos.
Right.
But really, you're not going to take anything away. You still have to have a subscription, which a lot of people steer away from. So, and you're not really doing anything, but I think they're just making Apple Music more compelling. Not only that, but God only knows, I know at some point, I mean, it's just a matter of time that all these Apple TV series that they've been pumping out, as in signing up contracts and stuff, I don't know where they're going to go with that direction yet, but we'll see. But it almost makes more sense that they're going to try to bolster that subscription base up to make it worthwhile to spend that $10 a month.
So now that we know this, how many of us have Apple Music subscriptions?
I do.
I think I've had it since it very first came out.
And I do too. Now, I also use Spotify. I waffle back and forth. Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I?
I know. And I agree with you. And I can hear all the people out there, our listeners, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Spotify is great. Easy. I think the layout is much better. Does it offer anything different? No. But is it easier? Yes.
Well, I think it has. It has some more audio stuff. And I'm talking about Spotify. And I realize this is an Apple conversation, but
This is what this show is all about.
Yeah.
We are
it's related.
Open.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's a more audio content that I listen to on Spotify than there is with Apple Music. And there are more tracks that I listen to on Spotify. And why do I keep my Apple Music subscription? It's really easy to talk with our friend Siri and get it done that way faster. Like if I'm exercising or something, I can just yell over to load something. So I like them both for different reasons. Do they mention anything, Tom, about upgrading Siri with 0.3, or is there nothing about that? Because quite honestly, Siri is like way behind.
I totally agree with you on that, Randy. I'll be honest. At one time, I thought Siri was fantastic. And I'm going to shock you both, and I'm going to shock all my listeners. I went to look at the HomePod. And we'll get, you know what? I'll talk about this in a little bit when we talk about the HomePod.
Let's just let that lay until we get to the HomePod, because I've got something to say about it too. So let's just move on.
Okay. All right. So we are now Spotify. I wonder if it does music videos. Does it do music videos?
I don't know if it does videos or not, quite honestly.
I bet it will. I bet they will to compete with Apple Music. Yeah. But nonetheless, the whole point is Apple Music in 11.3 will not have music videos, and the news will have news videos. But also, this is kind of a big thing in the United States. One of the major problems we have had is that we have this emergency SOS deal, or we call 911. And the problem is a lot of these cities are not equipped with these high-tech stuff that they cannot locate us to exact pinpoint where we are. So if we're out or unable to speak or whatever, they will not be able to locate us very well and easy. But that will change with 11.3. They'll introduce a new technology that will help the 911 services to locate us better instead of down the block or half a mile that way and whatever have not. So that's always a good thing.
Cool. Well, what's that called? Do you have a? Does it have a name yet?
It's just called a new mobile locator. I don't know the exact acronym for that, but it's just going to be built in. So it's going to be under the hood. I'm really glad to see this
because as time progresses, so does my age. And so I'm kind of worried, you know, about being off. It's like, oh, I don't feel well.
Oh, my gosh. And then the last feature, which I think is really, really interesting. They're going to implement a new business chat feature within our iMessage. What that means is that right now, here's a few to give you an idea. We got Wells Fargo, we have Lowe's, we have Hilton, and we have Discover. They're the first four to step forward that will be available in 11.3 when it drops. What that means is that you can now message to those companies and actually talk to a representative for that company through your iMessage. And you can do business transaction through it and use Apple Pay and all sorts of things. So this new business chat thing is supposed to help us be able to connect to businesses easier. And I was thinking, my God, this is going to be a game changer, you know, for those that are deafblind and other field that I think they're going to love this new feature.
We're already starting to see this with some of the apps that we're already using. Like one of them that comes to mind is Be My Eyes. Did you guys hear about that?
I didn't.
So you will be able to, let's say that you want some help with water heater. I'm just going to use that as an example.
Yeah.
So you just hit a button when people have come forwarded with their service through Be My Eyes. It connects you with the company of the water heater, and you'll be able to actually, you know, have help with finding the correct knob or switch or whatever. If you're a blind user, they're hooked into Be My Eyes, and they know this, and this is cool stuff.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is. It's going in a direction that's going to be so helpful for all of us.
And it's such a simple idea, really, but the amount that can change, I mean, that it can affect quality of life is pretty dramatic, especially for people who are blind and living on their own. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have sighted people in my house that can say, hey, where's the 9 on that knob or something like that? But there's a lot of people that don't have that option. And this, I mean, just makes things so much easier.
So
there's technical questions like, how do I light the pilot light in my fireplace?
Yeah, well, I've got a sound effect for that.
does it go with boom?
Yeah, it does.
Oh my gosh! So that was a surprise drop by Apple to reveal 11.3, and I thought that was pretty fabulous. But they didn't stop there. They also made another announcement just blew my mind. They didn't tell us any new features, but let me get to that in a few seconds. First of all, I'm going to tell you that, of course, the iOS 11.2.6 dropped.
Yep.
Yes. And it drops another iMessage bug.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of boom. Boom. Yeah.
That one's a real nasty one. That one actually, you couldn't even open up your message app until somebody else texted you. That was bad.
I've never gotten hit with that one, so thank goodness. But
yeah, neither did my sister this time.
I bet she appreciates that.
Exactly. So this other bit of news that Apple dropped in our lap is that they wanted to kind of give us a heads up. And I thought, well, this is also kind of interesting. The iOS 12 is going to change, according to Shillings. He says the iOS 12 is now going to go to a 2-year cycle, meaning that a dramatic change or dramatic new features are not to be expected every year from now on. Any major changes will be every other year, and they are going to concentrate on iOS 12 with performances and quality. And I was like,
I'm so glad they're doing this.
Because let's face it, there still is a lot of issues as far as I'm concerned with with 11, and I mean, I've talked about that on several occasions.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I feel like they're so rushed to get the new version out that they just are kind of like patching a sinking ship sometimes. And they're not taking the time to fix some of these issues. They come out with a whole new version. Some of those issues are still there. There's some new ones that pop up. And like I was saying earlier, get away from the hardware focus and focus on the software. So I'm so glad they're doing this, because it's going to just patch those holes and make it actually function so much better. Because I mean, there's so many people that I talk to on a regular basis that are so frustrated with iOS. Not the hardware at all. It's the software that people are very unsatisfied with.
And that's why a lot
of
people are going to Android, quite honestly.
Yes. Yep.
Well, it's Apple's fault. I mean, they dropped their pants on this one. And I mean, just to show what we were talking last month about another iMessage flaw and all the Mac issues they've had, there's just too many problems that Apple finally recognized that they're losing their polished image of being stable and being good quality. And I think they recognized that. And I saw kudos to them, but you know, this will remind me a lot like iOS 10. That was also a performance and quality check as well. They said that, but they didn't make like this kind of announcement that this is going to be official.
Yeah, this is the process going forward from here on out. I think it's great. I hope it solves some of these problems.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see a lot of these bugs go away, and I think they will too. And so I think we're going to see a much more stable release. Let's hope. Because they're not doing away with all the features. So in other words, what Mr. Schilling was trying to say is that I didn't realize they were wanting to do this, but they were going to redesign the home screen. Obviously the CarPlay needs a lot of attention, and they were going to totally revamp the photo. Oh yeah, the mail app, they're going to totally redo, but that won't be out until next iOS. So that'll be iOS 13. So that'll be interesting that he mentioned a revamp of the home screen. I am really curious, what the heck are we going to see in iOS 13 if he means that?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how I would change it. Like if I could do anything that I wanted to improve.
Well, let's face it, from what you're saying right now, Mike, you know, as far as I see it, there's a major focus issue with mail for deleting and for a few other things. So I think there's focus issues to contend with. But as the mail app stands, I still find the mail app, better to use than anything else. Like Tom, you did a great job with the Outlook. You did a great job with it, but I can't get it to connect to my server. It will not connect no matter what I've tried. And I know a little bit of something about getting around on apps and keyboards and things like that, and it just won't. And I've put in a call to my service provider, and I won't mention that it's Charter, but whoops.
You know what? You know, that has been a while since I did the Outlook podcast, and I'm glad you brought that up, because really what happened there, Randy, is that when iOS 11 dropped, that broke some compatibility with a lot of email apps, and they had to totally redesign the connection behind to make workarounds, and Outlook was one of them. So I know they're continuing to have some issues with that, and that is going to be squarely blamed on Apple for putting that block up and making it harder for these developers. So that's unfortunate. And as like you, I went back to my mail app too, just for that reason. There's just was too many problems.
Yep. I think that developers are going to love this 2-year cycle too, because there's not going to be drastic changes to the code. They're going to break their apps too.
Can you imagine next year when they do a total revamp of the mail? It's probably going to happen again. So it's something to look forward to.
As long as I can stop deleting the wrong emails.
Oh, I don't know how many times I did that. People get mad at me. Well, why aren't you responding to me?
Well, I said it to you.
And I have to explain. Well, first of all, I don't like you.
I don't like you, but that's not why. They did it.
Oh, let's see. Now, two more features that they mentioned. Now, one feature he officially confirmed, the other one they have not, but I'll get to that. This one, the next one and the final one that Mr. Schilling revealed was that the parental control, of course, is going to be enhanced. So obviously, from our last month discussing that the investors were wanting a tighter control and better parental controls for our parents to be able to help our children and other people in your house to have more restrictions. So that is definitely another PR, like the battery performance was.
I'm just waiting for the Apple fridge so I can tell Siri to make my kid a sandwich, and it's going to be, you'll be able to add in like sugar counts and calories and all these, set all these parameters in your parental control app.
I don't think I can do that.
It'll be great. It'll be great when that comes out.
Well, I'm thinking of this. Tom, have you ever run into this issue, or Michael, have you ever run into these issues with Siri? Thank you for teaching me how to say the name. How would you like me to pronounce the name this time? And you tell her, and she just doesn't do it.
I've hardly messed with that at all. I can't even get it to dictate my messages properly. So
The dictation has fallen. But I have had friends of mine that have, you know, relatively, let's say, interesting names. And I tell them, you know, it's pronounced this way. And she... finally, I just forget it. I have to get out of that loop.
Right.
And then, you know, put them in by hand call the person that I used to call, you know, from their last name. I have to put in a fake name, you know, like Tim Smith. It's just ridiculous. Then I go through later and I go, who the hell is Tim Smith?
I understand the frustration. I think a lot of people can agree with you. Have I had that experience? Yeah. Yes, I have had where it works sometimes and other times it doesn't. And it's like, I thought I taught you, but you don't seem to understand me.
At least she calls me Big R, and that's all I care about.
Now, this last one, and this is the big one. I saved the last one for the biggest. And this is not official. This is just rumors and speculation, but there's been a lot of rumors that iOS 12 may have the ability to run your iOS app on your Mac. We can all agree the iOS app is simple for the most part.
Yeah, that's why
the apps design is very simple.
Yep.
And okay, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, but the Mac, I have a Mac, and sometimes I don't like having to do all this
interaction
crap. And I do have a trackpad, and that helps me out a lot. But, oh my gosh, can you imagine using the trackpad if you had an iOS app on your Mac?
Well, if you had an iOS operating system on your Mac, I would be... This is what you'd be hearing right now. You know what that is? It's me signing the check to buy a new computer. Because I would buy a Mac in a minute if there wasn't so much of this interaction stuff. Because I used to teach this stuff, and people had a really hard time interacting. And I think it'd be a lot better having an iOS operating system on the Mac than the way it is right now. But that's just my opinion. Now,
I don't even notice it anymore. I've been on.
Yeah, that's because you're so used to it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I've had it for 9 years now, and I'm just so used to using all those keyboard
commands. Good. I hope they change it then, because that'll just wreck your.
Here's the problem, though, is I've also set up a bunch of my own, like, custom ones.
Oh, sure.
To, like, jump to edit fields and buttons and things like that. So when I get a new computer and I have to reset all of those up, I'm going to be thoroughly confused.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing you guys got to keep in mind, okay? Is that for those that are, like, think the sky is falling, let me explain this. This will be a program. It's a program. And so, in other words, it's not taking over the Mac OS You will still have your desktop. You still have to interact to get to the software.
It's just
to open it up.
Window.
But once you open it up, you're not going to have all the confusing things within that. Now, I have to say, if being a Mac and a Windows user, it is difficult for me because I'll get so used to my Mac, and I come to my Windows and I can't figure out why nothing's working, and I'm hitting the wrong control option. And I was like, where in the hell is my control option? And I get mixed up. And I think people that have been on Windows for a long time, will have issues of going over to the Mac, no doubt. I mean, it's just so radically different.
Yeah, that's always been a problem.
Yes. But those that stick with the Mac and only stick with the Mac, it becomes second nature. But this is just an iOS app that's going to be able to run on your Mac as an app. So it's like opening up Twitterific for the desktop. So I'm thinking to myself, Twitterific would be a good example. They sell a Twitterific app for the Mac, and they also sell a Twitterific for my iOS. So I'm thinking that's kind of bad news for Twitterific, because then why would I want to pay $20 for Twitterific if I already bought one on my iOS app?
I think it is bad news for them, but I think any move that in general is good for the consumer is probably a smart move in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. And speaking of that, as you heard or may not heard, Twitter decided to dump Twitter for the Mac, mm-hmm. which is great news for Twitterific now, because they have a sales. And of course, they took advantage of that. $7.99. That's pretty darn good price. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know anyone that uses Twitter on the Mac?
No,
I never used Twitter on the Mac, and I don't think it would be very accessible, because we have always used the Night Owl?
Night Owl, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember trying it years ago and it didn't work at all, and I've never tried it since. So
nobody's gonna be crying over that by any means. It's kind of sad in a way. It's kind of like Twitter is actually dumping the Mac. And it's like, well, you're not very big, you're not a big imprint, so I'm not gonna support you anymore.
That's right. They realized, like we were saying earlier, 80% of what we do online is on our phones anyway. So why spend all that time and effort making a thing for the Mac that a tiny, probably comparatively small amount of people are using?
Now, I heard something about Twitterific on the Mac, and you guys might want to tell me if this is true or not, that people really liked it, and then as time progressed, something got dropped or some support thing happened or something, and they need an update and they don't like it as well. What's up with that? Do you guys know anything about that?
No. I've been a Night Owl user for years and years and years, and it's met all my needs, and I've never looked anywhere else. I don't even use Twitterific on my phone. I just have the Twitter app.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what I'm missing out on.
Interesting. Well, I use Twitterific on my phone, and I've used them all, you know, as far as accessibility goes. And
you like Twitterific more?
I use Twitterific for iOS and my Mac, but I use Chicken Nugget for my Windows.
Oh, I use TW Blue, but anyway, we're straying off the subject. But yeah, well.
No, it's all good. Oh, good. But that's just something to think about, and Twitter is now recommending people to go to their website for Twitter usage. So
that's crazy.
Okay, whatever. All right, on to the next subject. We're going to go to more to the AppleViz news for the month. And if you guys follow some of the blogs, we have a great set of blog team, and they put out blogs all the time. It's just great reading. And the one I want to touch on is Serena Gilbert, which is on the AppleViz blog team. She wrote a nice piece on the HomePod, is it worth the cost? And she did a very neutral discussion, how she thought the HomePod was for her and how she set it up. She said the sound is great, except the Siri is lacking, and which we all And this is where I was going to do my surprise to you guys, is that I went to look at the HomePod myself. I looked at it and I said, it's cool.
You did.
But you know what I ended up coming home with?
An Apple
I came
Watch.
Home with the Alexis Echo.
Oh.
And I tell you what, that is the most amazing thing I've ever used.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
That is so, I had no idea how much better. It is so much better in the Siri. That's the sad part.
I'm happy, Tom, that you are among the Echo device users, because when you and I talked, you weren't. And that was, we talk all the time. All of a sudden, now you've got one. That's cool.
Thank you. And it actually has been great for my family. We have actually started to sit down for dinner and talking and playing games together on Alexa while we're eating.
Yeah, we do that a lot.
Playing like the three questions or Jeopardy or name this song. I have never seen us do this before, and they love it. And they every time they sit down, we always sit down and start a game together. That alone was worth the price.
Next time you buy your devices, ask her to pretend she's a villain. Did you guys ever do that?
No.
Pretend you're a villain. Oh my God. It's so funny.
I will have to do that.
I could bring over my Dot and we could have a little surprise for you because it's really funny.
I say do it.
All right. You guys talk amongst yourself. I'll be right
there's
back.
So many of these little Easter eggs hidden in these things that it's hard to figure them out in the first place. I will just going back to the blog post really quick. I do appreciate anybody that can write basically an opinion piece, but still try to take a neutral stance and say like, this is why it works for me. It might not work for you for these reasons, you know, A, B, C, and D, so on. Because when I come across posts that are so obviously like, when I have one paragraph in, I'm like, oh, this person is very clearly an Apple like major fan. And I have a hard time, I guess, trusting their opinion when I know that they, you know, are kind of kneeling at that altar of Apple. So I like that neutral opinion and that kind of more moderate approach to it. So
okay, I'm back.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Mike, is that the piece was well done. I love when they're neutral about it.
Yeah.
And especially on the Apple Viz site that we try to be more transparent and neutral. And because, you know, I'll admit the music is great, but I just have no use for it. I have a speaker system. Mm-hmm. I have a sound bar. Yeah. And they're great. And I don't have any reason to replace them at this time. I don't want to waste the money I spent into the stereo system when it works great.
Yeah, and the reality is that the main way you interact with these things is by voice, and if the voice is lacking, what's the point? I mean, that's the major function of the
device. And I'm thinking most of the people I know already have Echo, and so it's kind of like if you already have an Echo, it's going to be a hard sell. Now, if you didn't have the Echo, I can see that being beneficial.
Well, I've got a really good friend who has been on a few podcasts with me, and she likes the Apple product because she thinks that the HomePod that she wants to gang. You guys understand what I'm saying when I'm saying ganging the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when she puts two of them together, they're going to sound even more awesome than the Sonos ones, which I've got a pair of those for my TV sound system, and oh my God, I think they're terrific. So if the... HomePod.
Well, I have no doubt about that. Yeah. I have no doubt about it. It's just that, Randy, I mean, you spent buco bucks on your your song.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you want to dump it?
Nope.
That's exactly why. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part is getting people to ditch what they currently have for your new thing. I mean, Apple's showing up late to the game with this thing.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody will deny that. So it's hard to break in, especially when you have a higher price point. The functionality is not as good.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle.
So yeah, it is, but it's going to improve. There's no doubt. They know there's a problem, and they know they have to perform. And so I have no doubt that Apple is going to do nothing but increase the Siri functionality and make it so much better. I really, really do. That's my prediction.
Can Siri act like a villain?
Now, let's hear about this. Now, I have done an Echo to say bark, and my dog goes absolutely nuts. Oh, so yeah. I love that.
Now, really quickly, the Echo has an action button, so you don't have to say the name, and I'm purposely not going to say her name so that it'll set off the world's devices, okay?
Yes.
So I'm just going to press it, and I'm going to do my command, and I think you guys will get a kick out of this. It's about 10 seconds long. Act like a villain.
It's just a normal day at the office. Until I head into the break room, I pour a cup of coffee, smiling to myself as the last drop falls into my mug. And then, dun dun dun, I don't make a new pot.
Oh, it's awesome. She's so much more fun than Siri.
Oh my gosh, there's so many Easter eggs in this thing. I learned
so much more human than Siri.
Oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
Now, I demonstrated that with my Vox speaker and my Dot, and that's totally portable. I can just take it anywhere within my Wi-Fi network, Tom, in case you didn't know that that exists.
Sweet.
See, you said portable. I was just thinking a minute ago we were talking about the HomePod fighting this uphill battle. They just need to make it portable. They need to mount it on a Roomba so it can follow me around. here's my thought. And maybe it's just me that loves this idea, but there's a sensor in the little Roomba that knows where my phone is. And wherever I walk, it just follows me playing my music. And it stays 50 feet away, so it's not overwhelming. But that way I can go anywhere doing the laundry, go feed the dogs, wherever I go. There it is, just trucking along behind me.
Well, I'll buy that. You can pay me and I'll follow you around for a certain percentage with my device. And
okay. But it's going
to have to feed you.
Although you got to do that. Oh.
Yeah, but Mike, it's going to leave a white ring on your Roomba.
Maybe if it's all built in together, and this should be fine.
For those that don't understand, the HomePod is having some issues with certain wood material with certain oil. And when you put the HomePod on it, the vibration will imprint a white ring on your woodwork. So be careful.
Yeah, it's like a puppy. You got to be careful where you put it down because it might leave a mark.
Yeah, it might leave a mark. That's a good one.
And if you have two of them, it'll leave two marks. Then we'll all be in trouble.
Now on to the next subject, in which Randy already mentioned, which is phenomenal. Be My Eyes made an announcement on AppleVis that it will now have a ability to allow you to contact a real person on Be My Eyes within the app to Microsoft. That is, my gosh, I thought that was awesome.
That's really cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's free, and for those that don't have Be My Eyes, get it. This is well worth it, and it's great for getting assistant from other people. You actually get to connect with a real person that can help you with anything that you want them to look at or to talk about. Or I've used it for when I had some computer issues. They were able to help me get out some sticky situation on my computer. And I've had people use it for navigational wise, like they get lost. And there's no shame in that. We all get lost sometime, and it helps us to figure out how to get back to the sidewalk or whatever have not. And
well, let's put a disclaimer in here. Don't use it if you don't have good mobility skills or if it's a life-threatening. It's like, can I cross now?
Yeah.
Good disclaimer. Yeah, and that's correct. And this is not to replace your dog, and those people are not going to babysit you and go down 10 feet, take a right. No, they're not there to do that. This is just for help. But this new feature allows you to connect to Microsoft that will, if you have any problem with your Microsoft. And I think what I heard, the reason they did this, and it makes so much sense, is that people were using the Be My Eyes for a lot of the system. Mm-hmm. Like, I need help with my Microsoft Windows. It's not working. And I think they got to the point where people were using it too much.
Oh, yeah. Just like with Ira, same thing.
Right. So I bet they're going to tell them to use the Microsoft specialized help, because there's a button that says specialized help within Be My Eyes, and they should help you through your Microsoft.
I got a perfect one. Help me to sign into my Skype account.
I was just going to say that. Let's start a grassroots movement. Everybody start using that with your Windows PCs. Be like, I can't use this program at all. What is happening here? I can't even sign in.
Exactly. So check that out, and I can only see them getting better and better, getting more people, more companies to connect with that. That would be awesome, but also that's also going to interfere with the concept that 11.3 had with the business chat. So I'm not sure how that's going to... I think they had this in mind before 11.3 was going to be revealed, and so that made a huge difference for them. But now that we're going to have this baked into it...
Be My Eyes is video, right? I've never used it.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that might be the big distinguishing difference, is if your question or your issue or whatever needs that video, needs eyesight, basically.
True.
To handle it, then you can do that. But I mean, and like Randy, you were saying, the deafblind community, they can use the iOS thing, the new messages app, and don't have to deal with trying to talk to somebody over video. So
that's a good point. There's a new game that came out this month called Land of Livia that has been... Oh my gosh, it's been gaining a lot of traction. If you guys haven't been following this, the developer of the Land Olivia wanted to make it accessible. And what made this really, really huge is that a lot of gamers out there really love these RPG games. And this is one of those RPG games that is where you can build up your skills and your health and all that stuff. This is the game. And so they made an announcement this month to They're going to work on it. And so they released a version not too long ago that makes this completely accessible. And kudos to the developer of The Land of the Livia. So if you haven't heard of the game, you want an RPG game, definitely check that out.
I just got it. And I will throw out there, one of the things that I like about this game, as opposed to some of the other ones, is it's not, there's nothing urgent about it. What was that app? I can't remember the game now. There was one where you had to put your headphones in and like walk around. You had a sword and you'd swipe at monsters. And
it was like time-based.
Yeah, like you had to put your headphones in, like step out of real life for a bit and just focus on the game. Super fun game. But you know, I'm a parent. I've got kids here at the house with me. I can't always just tune them out to play games. And this one, like when you start an activity, like right before we started, I'm like, oh, I'm going to travel to this city. And then it's like, it's going to take you 3 minutes and blah, blah, blah seconds to walk here. So I can just put it away. And it'll give me a notification when the guy gets there. But I don't have to sit there and actually like actively focus on it. So it's a good thing. It's kind of nice to, in between jobs or activities, wherever you just pull it out. Oh, I'm going to do this real quick, that real quick. Bam, put it back away. You can go on about your day.
Mm-hmm.
I like that feature. There's nothing urgent about it. It's a kind of a slow pace. I mean, it's an RPG. It's kind of how it's supposed to be.
Exactly. And it's a free download, but it does have in-app purchases to buy the different chapters, I believe.
Which I think is a good idea. Because if you love that type of game, then you'll probably want to support the person for putting all the work anyway.
Oh, no doubt.
And if you don't love it, then you have enough of game time to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Some of our listener questions. Now, we had a discussion last month that we discussed about what different OCRs that we like on our iPhone. And Greg Watcher mentioned that one of the things that I didn't know about is that the Microsoft was it Office Lens, that it will allow you to scan multiple documents. So that was one of the things I was saying. I love the Prisma Go, which, by the way, got a major release, just came out 3.0 that now recognize handwriting.
That's right.
But I don't know if that's free or if that costs you per points. You know how that has the OCR ability to scan anything you want, which I highly recommend. But I think the handwriting might cost you a point. And I think you get so many points for a dollar or something like that. I can't remember what the cost was, but just keep that in mind. But anyway, he was mentioning Microsoft Office Lens does multiple documents. So instead of the KNFB reader that I was saying, I said the only reason I could think of was that KNFB reader had the multiple document scanner. So Microsoft Office Lens is free. And if it does multiple documents, it's something to look at. It's definitely so. I really appreciate Greg mentioning that because I like to hear different alternative solutions to what other people have found.
The more options, the better. I always kind of feel that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys know that when you back things up on your iCloud and then you decide to delete something off it, like a file or something, I didn't realize you can retrieve that up to 30 days. Did you guys know that?
I did, but only because I deleted something on accident that I needed.
Did you really?
And yeah, I figured it out the hard way. I was like, oh, I'm so glad this is a thing.
Oh my gosh. Well, see, I didn't know this happened. And I was reading an article that you just go to iCloud.com and you go under your settings and go to advanced, and then there's an option for recover files. So that is how you can recover files that you have deleted in your iCloud. Keep in mind, that's only there for 30 days. After 30 days, it gets deleted. So it's like a trash can, you know, the recycle bin on Windows.
Yeah, and you can pull that thing up too, like in the iOS app, there's that recently deleted section.
You can?
Yeah.
Where is that at? Do you know?
Like on the main screen. So like when I opened it today, it had my iCloud documents from TextEdit. It was basically in that folder. And there's just that back button at the top left. I just went back to like the main screen, and right at the bottom, it's recently deleted. You could open that, and whatever you've deleted from iCloud will be right there too.
See, that's the cool part, is that none of us know everything, and it's impossible.
I know everything.
Except for Randy.
Most of us don't.
Most of us. But know that I thought that would be useful for our listener to hear know about.
Yeah, that's a good thing to know about.
Now, I'm going to end up with one last tip, and then we're going to be done. And that is, you know, for those paranoid people out there that wants to force your phone to go to the prompt. So, you know how you always hear about people coming over to different countries, they force you to do your Touch ID because that's legal, but they can't ask you for your passcode.
Mm-hmm. Well, right.
I didn't realize you can just say, if you want to disable Face ID and Touch ID instantly, you just tell Siri, you open Siri up and you tell her, whose phone is this? And it'll automatically lock everything up. And then you have no choice but to enter a passcode to get out of that.
Now, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
That is cool.
So that is a FYI for all of you that I also want to pass that tip along. I thought that was a pretty cool little feature. So,
okay, everybody, engage Siri and say that right now while we're on and let's see what happens.
Let's know. That's
right. Now, so put your phone right up against this podcast now. Okay, here we go.
Whose phone is this?
Exactly.
I want to thank all the people that have tweeted me and talked about the team that's assembled for this podcast, because I've got some great reports. I've gotten some just great kudos about the cast. People that I've spoken with have really some high praises for it. So I want to thank you guys for listening and downloading and everything. It's just been wonderful, the reaction that we've got for the new cast.
Yeah, thank you too, because I've also had a lot of people tweeting to me and emailing. And by the way, we do have a new email. If you have any questions or would like to submit any feedback or suggestion to us, you can email us at unleashed@applevis.com. So that's our new emails. And I appreciate you too. Once again for another wonderful month and a great podcast. And thank you guys. And
thank you for putting together so that we can act like we know something.
Yeah, I'll second that. I've run a couple of shows like this in the past, and I do know how much work it can be. So thank you for the time that you put in. And thanks also to the listeners. This would be not quite as fun if we didn't have feedback. So
that's right.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, our listeners. And that is going to do for our AppleViz Unleashed for February 2018. We'll see you next month, guys. Bye-bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.appleviz.com.